I am Rhea Levy here with Chappelle Floyd to talk to him for an oral history project, The Black Experience of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as part of the Lehigh Valley Engaged Humanities Consortium. We are here at the Bethlehem Area Public Library on Monday, April 15th, 2019. Floyd Chappelle, thank you for your willingness to speak with me. Can you please state your full name, and can you also spell your name and give me your birth date?
Chappelle Floyd. Birthday 6/14/41.
And spell your name. What else was it? Could you spell your name
for me? Oh, I'm sorry. C H A P P E L L Floyd. F L O Y D.
Okay, great. So we had a chance to speak at the church 2 weeks ago. Could you tell me, what was your experience like growing up here in Bethlehem? And well, first of all, give me some background information about your parents and if you had siblings growing up here in Bethlehem. When did they first come to Bethlehem?
My parents came to Bethlehem when I was 5 years of age. My mother was separated. So she was a one parent owner at the time. And then she remarried my stepfather, Louis Bell. And then we continued to live here in the area in the Bethlehem Projects out at Marvine Village. From there, I went to Northeast Junior High School at that time. Later from there to Liberty High School, participated in track and basketball. Was undefeated in my senior year in track. Later went into service in the Air Force in 1959. Stayed to 9-10 months. Came out and came back to Bethlehem.
So tell me, why 10 months you spent only in the service?
Well, what happened was they were supposed to send us to tech school, and the orders never came through. So that was the reason for the short enlistment.
Mm-hmm. And when you graduated from high school, what did you do after high school?
I went direct. Well, I worked a short time and went directly to the service.
Into the
1059, yeah.
Right. And after you left the service, what did you do?
Came back to Bethlehem and enrolled in Temple. Never finished, but I took a few classes there and came back here.
So what kind of work did you do here in Bethlehem?
I worked in the Bethlehem Steel as a big job. I was first Black employee in the corporation. That was in 1964, May 18th. That was during the time that they had implemented non-whites into the area. The Discrimination Act was passed at that time.
Oh, I see. Okay. And that's how you were able to get in the Bethlehem Steel?
Yes.
Okay. And what was that experience like working at the Bethlehem Steel?
It was a good job at the time. My biggest problem was both the blacks and the whites gave me somewhat of a testing. The blacks wanted to know why I was so important to get there, why I had the job, as opposed to some other blacks. But that was just the feeling at the time, that's all.
Could you tell me exactly what you did there?
I was in Burns Harbor Engineering Group, associated with records and cost analysts.
And what was the salary like?
The salary was good for that poor period of time. It wasn't high as some we were getting, but mediocre.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how long did you stay at the Bethlehem Steel?
I was there for 19 and a half years. until they closed down in 1980.
And after that, what did you do?
After that, I was also working a part-time job. And after the steel closed, my part-time job closed. So I decided to go to Atlantic City and work in the casinos. So I went there and worked there for 4 years. I lived in a trailer court. And I would come back to Bethlehem when I had 2 days off. That worked for a while. I stayed there for 4 years. It got to the point that things were happening around me so much until I figured it was time to come back to Bethlehem. There was like 7 things that happened to me that gave me an indication that Bethlehem is a place for you to go back to. So I came back to Bethlehem and got a part-time job as director of the Hotel Bethlehem. That was in 1980. That worked out for a while until, in fact, I was there when that lady was killed from the fire. It was a case where a sofa caught on fire and she died from the results of it. There was also another incident where a guy committed suicide over there.
Over where?
At Hotel Bethlehem.
Oh, okay.
And being in the security department, I was the first one to find his body. He had shot himself and fell down in the back of a door in the bathroom.
Oh, so you also worked at the Bethlehem Hotel?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. How long did you spend there?
Oh, it was from 80 to 83, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, 83. Then from there I left and went to Lehigh University in the campus police. I worked there for, I think it was 3 years. Three years. And then after leaving there, I just got part-time jobs. I got a job at the security outfit in Allentown. I worked security for Lehigh Valley Mall. Also worked security at the South Mall. Worked there a number of years. And then phased out from there and I worked at Bon-Ton. After working at Bon-Ton for a while, I left there and went to Graysdale. That's in Nazareth. And I worked there for 3 years, came out of that and 2003, and then after that, I went to the Hotel Hampton Inn, worked there 3 years, left there and worked part-time at Steak and Shake, and just left there a couple months ago.
Just a couple months
yeah.
ago, okay. I just want to go back for a second. So. How were you able, you said you used to return to Bethlehem on the weekends when you were in Atlantic City. How did you afford to do that? Did you live in a house?
No, I had a trailer down there.
Okay.
A trailer court.
Right. And how about Bethlehem? Did you have a house here in Bethlehem?
Yes.
Okay. Could you tell me about that? Because I know we spoke about that last. Tell me how you were able to get the house and so forth and the things that you had to do.
First of all, I purchased some property, 150 feet, about 50 feet, and I built on that. And my early start was, I had city well water because it was too expensive for city water at the time. And I'm still on well water. But it's something that I got stuck with. Basically, that's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because the price was cheaper with well water than it was city water.
And where in Bethlehem did you purchase the land?
1605 Fifth Street, Bethlehem, in Bethlehem Township.
And I just want to go back a little bit. Could you tell me, what was it like as far as going to school here in Bethlehem as a youngster? What was the dynamics with the other kids and so forth? How was that experience?
Oh, it was a fun experience, as kids go. There was no animosity, none that was outstanding, you know. It's just kid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the blacks had their section,
mm-hmm.
as well as the whites,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't bad at that time.
Mm-hmm. And how about the high school experience? How was that? Did you encounter? How was the dynamics with that?
Oh, they were okay. There were some cases where being outnumbered as far as high school, mm-hmm. for example. When I graduated, there was 835, and out of the 835, there was 5 blacks that graduated. So you had that type of setup.
How did you feel uncomfortable? Did you feel as if that, you know, did you just feel uncomfortable because there weren't only just a few blacks, but you were accustomed to that already?
Yes, accustomed to it.
Mm. And, okay, so what church did you attend while you were living here in Bethlehem, and what church did your mother take you to, I should say?
St. Paul Baptist Church.
And
on Gap Street,
mm-hmm.
Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm. And so and what did your mother do for a living?
She was primarily a seamstress and did odd jobs working in kitchens and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And where was your mother coming from?
She was born in Columbia, South Carolina, basically. And like I said, she migrated to Pennsylvania.
So when she left South Carolina, she moved directly to Bethlehem?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And could you tell me a little bit about the home dynamics, you know, growing up? I know, again, when we spoke last, your mom used to take you back home to the South every summer. Can you tell me about that experience?
Yes, every summer we'd go to North Carolina to work in the tobacco and stay at my grandfather's place.
So you stayed at your grandfather's place?
Yes.
Oh, okay, and what was that like going back down? You knew once the summer vacation came that you had to go down south. That was a given.
Yes.
And were you happy that you had to do that?
I had no choice.
Would you have preferred to stay here?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a learning process.
Okay, so you said that there were a few experiences that brought you back to Bethlehem. When you left Bethlehem, you went to Atlantic City. What happened to you that made you want to move back to Bethlehem?
There were 7 things that happened to me, gave me an indication it was time to leave Atlantic City and come back to Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm. And what were they? Do you mind sharing that with me?
The first thing was I was making a left-hand turn on Delilah Road, and something says, you're about to have an accident, lay down in the seat. And shortly thereafter, a woman passed the bus and totaled my car. Second thing was, I came back to get my Datsun 260Z. I took that down there. And we were on the Black Horse Pike, and the drawbridge was up. And it was a Winnebago park next to us with about 3 or 4 guys in it. And the guy says to me, hey, you want a drink? I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't drink. And about that time, his buddies walked back to the door and told him not to mess with me because he was a cop. So when I turned to look over my shoulder, he had a gun pointed at my head. So that was discouraging enough to want me to get out of Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing was, I was walking between some cars and I kicked something. Not realizing what it was, I asked one of the officers as to what it was. And he said it was hashish. So I thrown it away. I didn't want to be bothered with it.
Uh-huh.
Next thing was when I transferred from the, to the Trump Plaza, I transferred from another casino, which was Harrah's. And when I got there, I talked with these guys that had just had sewer put in. And they said, if you want to, you can park your trailer here, mm-hmm. as opposed to parking it at the trailer court, which was a lot cheaper. They were charging me $40 a month. Mm-hmm. I stayed there one night, and I found out that these guys were into drugs. Mm-hmm. So the zoning commissioner told me I couldn't stay there. Mm-hmm. So I left and went back to the trailer court. Mm-hmm. Next thing was, I was in a hurry to get to my residence, and I wanted to play a lottery number because you couldn't gamble in the casino. So I stopped at this lottery place, and I carried my license in a little pocket folder. And in my haste, I left the pocket folder at the delicatessen. Mm-hmm. So I was commuting up and down the road for about 2 months, and finally, something told me to stop at this delicatessen. And the guy says, where have you been? We've been trying to get in touch with you. Here's your license. Mm-hmm. They had called the casino a number of times, but no one ever told me about it. So. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you hightailed it back to Bethlehem?
Well, there was one other thing. I was standing on the casino floor observing a game, and something flew across the floor and hit me in the ankle. And I reached down to pick it up, and it was a ring with a cross on it.
Oh, okay.
And I figured that was my final word to get out of Atlantic City. Uh-huh. So with that, I left.
Uh-huh. So you retired from Bethlehem Steel in the 60s. And during the 60s, it was a very tumultuous time in the United States. You had the Civil Rights Movement going on. What was it like in Bethlehem during that time? I know it wasn't as, you know, you could correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't as bad as in the South, but what was the climate like during the 1960s here in Bethlehem?
Oh, there was a bit of racialness, but it wasn't that bad at that time, mm-hmm. as opposed to now, you know. Mm-hmm. Growing up, we had to put up with certain things.
Like what?
Playing ball in games, basketball or baseball, football. Mm-hmm. There was a certain amount of uneasiness, mm-hmm. but it was livable.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. So, again, you know, with the 1960s, you know, people, it was whites only, colored folks only. There was nothing like that happening. It wasn't like blatant. Did anything like no.
No.
But you knew that you had to keep, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you know your place, to put it that way?
Yes. Yeah.
So you stayed in your neighborhoods and so forth?
Pretty much so. Mm-hmm. And went out to other neighborhoods. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Tom, so were you ever married?
Yes, that's a long story. I was married three times.
Three times.
First one lasted 6 months, which I have a son through. 10 years later, I married a girl that had a daughter, and that didn't go too well. So that lasted a year and about 2 months. 10 years later, I married a girl that was from Indiana, and that didn't last.
You married a girl from, was she living in Bethlehem?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She was playing piano at our church.
Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm. And what's your son's name, and where does he live?
Chappelle Floyd, same as mine. Uh-huh. He's presently in North Carolina.
So you are a member of the St. Paul's Baptist Church.
Yes.
And what, do you play any a role in that congregation?
No, just a spectator primarily. And
what made you decide to go to St. Paul's? I believe your mom is the one that started.
Initially, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so therefore, when you came back to Bethlehem, that's where you stayed. So you retired recently, you said?
I retired in 19 when I was 62, but I've been coming back, getting jobs ever since.
Okay, you retired in 62. Did you get a pension from the Bethlehem State?
Yes, it was a small pension because of them being bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't that much.
How much were you paid while you were at Bethlehem Steel?
You know, that's hard to that's hard to figure.
Was it a decent salary?
Yeah, it was decent, sure.
Right, it was a decent salary. And compared to the other jobs that you have, what was that like? Were you disappointed with the salary when you tried to find jobs other places?
Well, I worked for Food Fair as I was working for Bethlehem Steel at the same time.
Okay.
Later, Food Fair went bankrupt after Steel closed down.
Mm-hmm.
So then I tried another job working at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to start at $3 an hour,
mm-hmm.
whereas I was making $15 an hour working for Food Fair. So that was the reason I left and went to Atlantic City to take a job down there.
Okay. And I know we spoke about this before. Could you just tell us the reason why you were working so hard? What was the goal? What were you trying to accomplish?
Trying to make something of myself, trying to be somebody, and just a workaholic, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want people to know that you also worked hard so that you can afford to buy that house and the land that you're currently living.
Yes.
And also another story you shared with me is how that house helped other people as far as the congregation or something like that. Could you do you mind sharing that story with me?
As to the congregation?
Mm-hmm. You had to refinance so you could or something to that aspect?
No, I haven't refinanced yet.
Okay. So I know I thought last time we spoke, that's what I thought that was a fascinating story, you know, how you helped, how you worked so hard that you were able to help other people, and people benefited from the fact that, you know, you were able to do certain things, and you were able to buy yourself a car. You had a motorcycle too, right?
Yeah,
you used to. Yes.
Yeah, that was an early series. I had a motorcycle, which I used to ride to work once in a while,
mm-hmm.
and a friend of mine used to ride on the back of it.
Uh-huh.
So that was a series that didn't last too long. But it was enjoyable for the time.
Right. And what did you work here at the Bethlehem Steel on the south side, or did you work in the corporate office?
Corporate office over at Martin Towers.
Martin Towers,
yeah.
Yes.
We started in the West Building, and then later we transferred over to Martin Towers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you enjoy working over in Martin Towers as opposed to the south side?
Oh, yes. It was much lovelier, livelier.
So looking back from when you first came here in Bethlehem and now, have you seen, tell me about some of the changes that you've seen in Bethlehem. Have you seen drastic changes, or is it changes that grew over time? Tell me some of the things that you have experienced as far as changes here living in Bethlehem from back when you were 5 years old. You know, I know it's a long time ago. Or let's say high school. And then leaving Bethlehem, moving to Atlantic City, and then coming back. And now, what are any huge changes significant changes that pop out at you?
No, nothing that stands out other than the fact that crime is greater now than it was then.
Right. You know, but okay.
No, that's about it. That's hasn't changed. It's changed, as cities do, but it hasn't been drastically important.
And because you were, how long were you at the church that you now attend? How long have you been a member there?
I've been there, ever since I was 13 or 14 years old.
13 or 14, okay. And so they are a part of your community too.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And how have they, could you tell me something about just being a part of that church community? What are some of the experiences that made you feel grounded in that? Because church, you know, the church community is important. What made you feel so grounded in that community? Made you feel safe, I should say.
Well, it was a community to be in, you know. Safety-wise, otherwise, enjoyable.
I know in black churches and so forth, and they spend all day in church. Is that the experience that?
Yes, it happens.
As a child, your mom took you to church and you stayed all day. Did you experience that
yes,
too?
Yes, sure did.
What was that experience like?
I couldn't do anything better. My mother made me go, and that was it.
And as you became an adult and continues to stay in the church, what fostered you to you know, still remain within the church?
Oh, believing in God, going to be a churchgoer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that's still my makeup.
That's good. That's good. And I think that's, you said when you were in Atlantic City, you found a cross, and so that was even the catalyst too that made you even want to say, let me leave this place and go back to Bethlehem, where Bethlehem was safe. Bethlehem is home to you.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to share with me that I didn't touch on? Is there anything you would like to tell me that I didn't ask you?
I opened up a salon in 1990, I guess it was. No, 1980. It was Samson and Delilah's Beauty Salon. And I went to school to get my license, got my license. But the problem was the guy that was managing for me was selling drugs out of the salon, so I closed it down. I didn't want to be involved with that.
So you had a salon as a business?
Yes.
You're trying to? Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And so you have some pictures. So are these pictures of the salon?
Pictures of the license.
Oh, the license. Okay. And that was another thing I wanted to find out, what kind of black-owned businesses that were here in Bethlehem. So this is from the 1990s,
yeah.
Okay. And it didn't last for very long?
No, it was short term.
Oh, that's too bad. And did you try to venture into another type of business?
No, I gave up on after that.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Anything else that you'd like to share with me?
When I built, I had a special contractor. These are my contractors.
Those are your contractors. Let's show the camera who your contractors are. And why do you call those your contractors?
Because I wasn't monkeying around. I was serious.
Oh, okay. So this is the piece of land that you bought?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the format. I took pictures every day, or pretty much every day.
Did you help to build this house with your own hands?
No, I had a contractor build it, but I designed it.
Oh, you designed it. Yeah. Oh, okay, okay. How long did it take?
Well, it took, I think, 3 months.
3 months to build?
To build. I think it was 3 months. Mm-hmm. The dates are on here somewhere or another.
And was this a remarkable undertaking for a person of color?
Yes.
During that time? Right. Because this is the 1960s, am I correct?
1968.
Yeah. Okay. Did anyone have any animosity against you, or did any, you know, because, you know, here is this person, you know, he worked so hard, and look at him trying to build. Encountered any issues?
Oh, yeah, I got some flack from some of the neighbors, especially one neighbor, but, you know, that's...
So the neighborhood that you moved into, was it mixed?
Oh, yes. Limited number, though, you know.
Mm-hmm. And why was this person giving you a hard time, you know, as far as, you know, building and so forth?
Well, some people are just prejudiced, regardless.
Is this one of your wives?
No, that's a friend of mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once again, my contractors.
I think this is, and that's you.
Right.
Okay.
Here we are doing the paneling in the basement.
I know you were very excited when this all started, right?
Oh yes.
Yeah, this was a great undertaking for this period. And I can tell from, you know, it hasn't even gone up yet, but I can date because of the cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the cabinets that were going in?
Right.
Okay. So you lived a comfortable life here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania?
Yes, yes.
And everything was good. As far as, you know, with life, you do encounter your ups and downs, so you're no different than anyone else.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll leave it at that for today.
Okay.
And if you think of any other stories that you'd like to share, just let me know.
They're in the bag.
Okay. Okay, so Mr. Floyd, you were showing me a few of the items that you brought here. And tell me about what you have here. I see the Olympics. Tell me about the Olympics.
Yes, that was in 76. I participated in the Olympics.
And I see that they call you Chappie Floyd. Where did you get that name from?
Well, that's been my name since I was a kid.
Okay, and tell us about the Olympics.
The Olympics, that was, I rented a truck. I had my truck in a camper, and I went up there and stayed the week of the Olympics, and I participated.
So you were a professional athlete when you were at Liberty?
Well, some people would say professional, some would say not.
Why do you say that?
Well, I did my best, put it that way.
But you ended up in the Olympics.
Yes.
What was your rank, I should ask you? Where did you rank to be a part of, to be in the Olympics?
I participated, but my main meeting wasn't that spectacular because I didn't do too well, you know, in the heat that I ran in.
But I'm sure that was really exciting just to
it was exciting.
Where did you go? Where did you go? What country did you go to?
That was in Montreal, in 76.
Oh, in Montreal.
Yeah,
okay, Montreal in 76. And what was your rank? Tell me, what was your rank?
I was running in the quarter mile.
Okay.
And I didn't do too well because I just didn't have the muster to do it, so.
Uh-huh. So, you had to have started this at Liberty High School, am I correct?
Oh, yes, that's where all my track started at.
Did you win a lot of trophies when you were at Liberty High School?
Yes, I was undefeated in my senior year, and I got the Calvin Carter Hess Trophy.
What is that?
That's the most outstanding track man of the year.
Nice, yeah. Wonderful. Anything else you want to tell me about this?
No, that's just some pictures of... I captured from the Olympics.
Okay, these are pictures from the Olympics?
Yeah.
Okay, let's show the camera some of your pictures from the Olympics. Okay. All right, and what are the goodies? Tell us, I see another great, tell us about these pictures and this float that's in that picture.
Yeah, that was my nephew's.
This was your nephew's float?
All three of them, yeah, all three of them.
These are your nephews?
Right. I decorated the float so that they could be in the parade.
Oh, nice. And is this why you received the trophy?
That's right.
I know. It was the Halloween trophy, so there was the Halloween parade.
Yes, it was.
Okay. And your nephews, did they help you put this float together?
No, they were too small, as you can see there.
They didn't try to help you at least that one
well,
day?
Well, no. They're just glad to be in it.
And who was the young lady here? Is that their mother?
That was their second wife.
That was your second wife?
Yes.
Oh, that's your second wife. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. So now we know that you were a track star.
Yes, by some means.
No, that's a very good thing. Okay, thank you.